All right, special edition of the JD Bunkus podcast / Leafs Talk. It's going to be up on both feeds because what a difference 24 hours makes.
You feel dumb for our first one?
So dumb.
Me too.
Last night I was like, can we please record? I need to repent.
Just put it on the feed so it's there.
I repent.
You know what though? I was a little triggered. I was trying not to be reply guy to some of the tweets because they were like, what about now? And I went, well,
I can't see tweets, so I'm good.
No, but I went, do you want the emergency pods or not? Yeah. I can only work off the information that I have at the time.
It's fair. Good point. Okay, we're back. We're
exactly.
Back.
Yeah. Hey, so either take the emergency pods, and if they change, shut up about it. Or
we sat on my couch all day on Canada Day for you.
Yeah, that's right. We did.
Yeah.
We were inside.
And then you're going to call us
watching
out.
TV.
Yeah. Which is all right. It was kind of rainy anyway.
It was. And it was kind of fun watching TV and having the news break on television again. It was, hey, television is back.
It's back.
Yeah.
Get those cable packages back. Rogers, baby.
Oh, dude, the Rogers execs in the cable department, they saw that Elon tweet. They went, wait, what? what? We're doing all right. Okay. Started? So, yeah. What a difference the 24 hours makes. Leafs end up signing two guys to one-year deals. Mm-hmm. Max Domi on $3 million, which it was a little less since he took $3 million with Chicago, but whatever. The cap went up, so percentage-wise, let's say it's a little less. And then they get Tyler Bertuzzi for 1 year at $5.5 million. Quick, before we bring in Myrtle, because here's what I'll say right away is I have no idea how this works against the cap. I was trying to look at it yesterday, and I was basically the Zach Galifianakis meme looking at the numbers moving, and I went, no, I'll just ask Myrtle. He'll know what to do. He'll know what to say.
Are they using the cap against Willie for leverage? Like, I can't figure out what they're trying to do.
I don't know. Again, James in a couple seconds. Here's three reasons why I absolutely love it.
Okay.
Because I hear all the complainers about the one-year deals, and I don't really understand that. It's like, yeah, okay. Of course, you'd rather have guys on a bit of term. Of course, you didn't wish that it had that mercenary feel that I talked to you about on Leafs Talk the other day, where it does feel always like the core four and then guys. Mm-hmm. And having dudes on one-year deals doesn't exactly improve that. But here's three reasons why. Number one, left wing has always been a bugaboo for this team, and now all of a sudden you can go Bertuzzi, Domi, Nyes. Mm-hmm. Now it doesn't feel like Matthew Nyes has to be up the lineup carrying one of the top six groups. And you can shelter him a little bit. Man, he wore down in the playoffs last year after just a few games. I know that's physical hockey. I know that's tough hockey. But he was coming from a college season that's going to be nothing like the 82-game grind of the NHL. So you shelter him a little bit, and finally they figure out the left side. Two, goals. Mm. I mentioned all the goals that were going out the door with the free agents that were going to be leaving, and I actually threw Engvall in there too. Well, one, they end up bringing back Kampf anyways, and now all of a sudden you add, what, 40 goals if these guys stay healthy minimum?
Yeah,
pretty much. I would say somewhere between 40 to 50.
What did Domi end up with last year?
Domi was a 20-goal scorer last year. I think he scored 18, and then he grabbed a couple in Dallas to hit 20. Mm-hmm. He had a 56-point season. Bertuzzi was down last year. But again, another weird year, broke his hand blocking a shot. I think that he's going to end up bouncing back. And then three is just, now they inject so many personalities in the room. And we know that you can't graft them onto these players. It's just the core four guys, the way that they are, okay? If you're expecting that Ryan Reeves is going to show up and then all of a sudden these dudes are going to start opening up and being different kind of players, I just don't really see it. But you bring in some guys that play with edge, that do play with the passion, that have a personality. Domi is a ratty player. Yeah. Bertuzzi is a ratty player. And Bertuzzi he's basically going to be bunting, but not annoying you with dives and will actually scrap somebody if push comes to shove. Like, isn't really afraid of the smoke. Obviously, bringing in Reeves, you have that there. So to me, like, that's the hit list, is personalities that actually bring something to a room that you sent me that clip, Ryan Reeves calling the room
quiet.
Quiet.
Don't like that.
Can't imagine it's going to be quiet anymore. You've injected a bunch of goal scoring, which is the number one thing that this team needs. And now all of a sudden the Klingberg deal makes way more sense to me as well. And your left side is finally looking good. Anyways, let's bring in Myrtle.
Yep.
James Myrtle, senior managing editor at The Athletic. Good morning, buddy. How would you grade the Leafs weekend?
Good question.
I don't like Reeves or Klingberg. So I don't know. B minus, I guess.
B minus.
Your mind.
Yeah,
changed your mind on both.
Yeah, I did.
I think it was fine. I think the weekend was fine. I think they did largely what they did made sense.
Sammy, what's your grade?
I'll give it a solid B.
Solid B.
B plus.
Okay.
I you know, not giving any long-term contracts during a, you know, off-season where lots of long-term contracts were given out to different guys and just kind of getting mercenaries, like you said, but good mercenaries. You're not talking Zach Aston Reese on one-year deals here. You're not talking about guys that are going to contribute up your lineup. So I give it a B, B plus.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say.
Still don't love Klingberg, though.
I'll be the big homer, and I'll go A minus. And this is why. This is why I'm going to give it A minus. I think that Trey Living had to sit there through the storm. And Myrtle, you tell me if I'm wrong here. I think he had to sit through that day one and basically eat it all day for that Reeves contract, which now I'm reading, again, you could tell me I'm wrong, cap guy, but is essentially something where they can bury most of that money in the minors, no sweat, if it doesn't end up working out for them. They bring in Ryan Reeves, big personnel in the room, having the toughest guy on the bench all of a sudden, someone who I do think is going to have an impact at least on the room and somewhat on the on-ice product. Also, it should be referenced that I read yesterday that since 2017, there's been only 18 players that have played more playoff games than Ryan Reeves. Just for all the people that have said the stuff about, hey, how he can't play in the playoffs. Yes, he's older. Yes, maybe that is going to be the case. But either way, the guy has got a ton of playoff experience. They buy extremely low on Klingberg. This is a guy who a year ago people thought was going to get a big splashy deal. And his numbers are horrific because he played on the Anaheim Ducks. I watched the Anaheim Ducks play last year twice when they played the Leafs. It was a horrific experience.
They beat the Leafs.
Yeah, no, they did beat the Leafs. But that Ducks team, I don't really care what the analytics say about a player who played on Anaheim. I just don't. I really don't care. And now, like I mentioned, you get these two left wingers that kind of fit seamlessly on your team for sort of bargain deals because Trey Living sat back, waited for the market to play out. Everybody grabbed all those middle tier guys. Those two were left holding the bag and he nailed it. Like A minus. No one.
Okay.
Yeah. That wasn't a compelling case.
I loved it. I'm just going to let Myrtle get in.
I'm trying to think of where to start. Where do you want me to start? Where
Anywhere.
Are we going here?
Anywhere, buddy. This is an open forum.
That was everything.
Yeah.
Number one, I don't think they're done. I don't know what's going to happen with Nylander. No. I still think that there's multiple trades potentially on the table. They got about $50,000 in cap space left once they sign Samsonov and find a way to get rid of Matt Murray. Mm-hmm. So they can't do anything in free agency unless they're trading somebody other than Matt Murray. You're right about the Reeves situation. I mean, I think with him too, you put him on waivers, someone probably is going to pick him up. Mm-hmm. And if not, you put him to the Marlies and it doesn't hurt you really at all. So it's a little bit different than some of the other situations they've had in the past. Trying to think where we want to go.
You didn't really like Klingberg. So yeah, we can get into that one.
Well, okay. So the Anaheim thing, Klingberg struggled the year before that. I mean, that's why he didn't get the big deal. That's why he ended up in Anaheim because he had a really poor season in Dallas the year before and no one particularly wanted him. And also when Anaheim moved him to Minnesota, he played really, really badly in Minnesota. He struggled mightily. There's a reason why a guy like that only got a 1 year deal. Mm-hmm. So either his last two seasons are going to be wiped out and he's going to get back to what he was before that, or he's a guy who's on the decline in his early 30s in a really significant way. Mm-hmm. So Klingberg's a big gamble. And he's also not what they talked about adding. Like he's not the physical presence. And I look at the D pairs, like where do you like to play Klingberg? I'm not really sure. With what you're paying him, you can't put him on the third pair. If he was coming in at $2 million, he's on your third pair and he's going to be on the power play. That's fine to me, but he's making over $4 million. He's going to have to be in your top four. He's going to have to play, you know, I think in Minnesota, I think they were only playing him 16 minutes and they still weren't happy with him. Mm-hmm. So that one's a big time wild card.
Yeah.
I mean, and the other thing too, JD, is that all four of the guys they added are not good defensively.
Nope.
All of them are not. So, you know, they picked up some offense. They're giving some back on the other end. There's still the big question about what's going to happen with Nylander here. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I would point out too is what do you do in the bottom six with this group? Like, how do you make lines that make sense? Because I was struggling to do that.
So I think that one of the things you explore early on anyways is taking a peek at Domi down the middle with Knies on the line. At least you have the flexibility to do that now. And you say, all right, we could have a third line that actually scores. And we don't really have a consensus third, fourth line. They play a little bit more. Sheldon Keefe has never been someone who's afraid of line juggling, right? And that's worked against them. Like, I actually think that that was a big part of the reason why Ryan O'Reilly didn't stay here, is that he didn't like the way that Sheldon Keefe ran his bench. But he's not afraid of it. And he's certainly not going to be in a regular season where, you know.
I actually don't think that's true with O'Reilly, to be honest.
All right. That's what I've heard. I've heard that Ryan O'Reilly was not a big fan of Keefe, and that a big part of the reason that he ended up leaving was when they ran back the coach. And I got that from more than one person.
I heard that, and I looked into it, and I was told no.
All right. You versus me, you know, who people are going to believe. I looked into it too, James, all right? looked into it.
Okay, well, off the air, you can tell me who you talked to.
I will. Actually, maybe I won't, but maybe I will. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Either way. I
was not talking to other media people or something.
Okay. That was kind of a shot at me, but that's okay. I'll eat that one.
Well, you're throwing it out there that he doesn't like the coach, and if it's not true, then I'm just going to shoot it down for you.
I here's what I will say. I feel pretty certain that he was unhappy at least with the playoffs. Let's put it that way. Pretty certain. 99% that he did not like the coaching in the playoffs. How's that for a number?
It's fine.
Yeah, it's a pretty good number, right? 99%? Okay, so let's keep it moving, though. So the thing with Klingberg, you're right. But I would say this. To me, that's kind of an indicator that they're going to make another move on D, because you're right. As it stands right now, none of these pieces end up actually fitting together. The question is, how do you make that work? To me, the guy I would be circling is TJ Brody, simply because of the term that he has and the past with Trey Living where he didn't give him an extension. Like, what do you think Brody's future is with the club? Is he the guy for you?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing is that he plays the tough minutes, and like, I don't know how you replace him at $5 million, right? So I think there's a couple things they potentially could do. I mean, I wonder if you look at Liljegren, maybe, or I don't know, maybe you don't believe in Giordano anymore. I don't know, but I do think that there's still something to come on defense, but I don't know. Like right now, I think if you go into the season, you're looking at Riley, Brody, McCabe with Klingberg, I guess, and then Giordano and Liljegren, and like none of that really excites me that much. So I think not only does the third and fourth line, it's hard to come up with something that's going to work really well on both of those lines. It's also on the blue line. To me, it looks like an unfinished portrait right now. I'd be very surprised if we get to September and this is, you know, the 21 or 22 man roster that they go into the season with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's move back up to the forwards then. How did Bertuzzi end up getting this contract? Like a lot of people had him as the number one free agent. And I mentioned that other teams ended up re-signing their players. Boston obviously moved a bunch of guys to try to make this work. And then he takes the $5+ million deal on a 1-year deal. Like, I get betting on yourself, but this is someone who was coming off of a down year. You thought maybe he would want to cash in on the playoff success that he had. What was your read on just how the market developed for him and how Toronto was able to get in there with this 1-year deal?
Well, I mean, he wanted, you know, the $5+ million with term, and I think you're right. I think waiting out the market a little bit ended up working in Toronto's favor because that didn't materialize for him. But the other key thing for Bertuzzi is he wanted to play for a contender. He didn't want to just go. He probably could have got that term and that money with, you know, if he went to, like, I think that was out there with a bad team, but that's not what he wanted. So he's betting on himself. He's betting on, you know, last year was a bit of a mess for him. You know, he comes in, imagine he plays with Marner and Matthews all season. Like, what are his numbers going to look like? Cap's going to go up, you know, could be a home run for him if it plays out that way. So it's good for Leafs in that way, other than it'll probably be hard to retain him if he has a huge year, but he's going to come in with something to prove. But the big factors were he feels like he can win in Toronto. He feels like he's going to play with great players and have a good season. And the contract that we all thought Bertuzzi was going to get, I mean, I thought he was going to get 5x5. Mm-hmm. And I thought that maybe even the Leafs would do something like that. I like this better because he's coming off the injury. He's had multiple injuries. If you look past, you know, back at the last few seasons, that's the red flag for him. See how it works, you know, and if you get to midseason and he's lighting it up, then maybe you start talking extension right there.
Mm-hmm. I will say that the down year still did see him get 16 points in 21 games with Boston. And yeah, the 5 goals, obviously in the playoffs, the 5 assists. I also like this. If you dig, because Detroit didn't play a bunch of playoff games. Doesn't have a big playoff resume with the Red Wings teams that were bad. But he has been proven to play up the lineup, play significant minutes, and be able to score 30 goals. But the one I like, I don't know how you guys read into stuff like this, but when they won a Calder in Grand Rapids. And when he was down there, he was their second leading goal scorer. Do you care about stuff like that when it comes to playoffs? Like, I don't want to say it replies to everyone. You can't use it with a broad brush. But how do you feel about just like the combined AHL and NHL numbers last year with that stacked Bruins team?
Well, I mean, what is he, 31? I mean, he's been around a long time. So yeah. Going all the way back to his AHL time is a bit ancient history for me. He's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really good offensive player. And especially if you play him with two good defensive players like Matthews and Marner, all of a sudden you're not worrying so much about his defensive weaknesses, and he's the perfect fit. I mean, I didn't get a chance to write about it, but I think that if, you know, the perfect offseason for the Leafs and the number of players like Bertuzzi that were available in free agency, there were hardly any. Mm-hmm. There were hardly any really good scorers available. You know, I think we could potentially look back at this in 6 months and say the Leafs got the best offensive player that was available.
Yeah.
So.
And you picture him going right up on that top line? Because I think I do. Like, I don't think, if you give him 5-5, you put him there right away, right? Because he'd be one of your highest paid forwards.
Yeah. I mean, and the power play, he's going to be really useful. He's really good in front of the net, right? Like, it's like getting a Bunting who's better than Bunting, basically, mm-hmm. or a Hyman. Like, it's one of those guys that's going to be able to go into the dirty areas and bang in the scraps that are there. So I feel like that's 100% where he belongs.
God, yeah, I really love his addition to this team. He's been basically the fantasy replacement for Hyman since Hyman left. Yeah,
I was shocked they got him. When I saw that 1 year, 5-5, like, I was legitimately floored by that. You know, with all the money that's been given out, like, see what Killorn got, see what these guys have gotten. For him to get that, it's pretty
why
crazy.
Why would you give Killorn that money if you're Anaheim and not Bertuzzi?
Well, they want the gritty winner guy who's going to teach their young guys. Like, they probably want it. That's how they sold himself on it. But, I mean, I'm sure he's having some conversations with his agent, how he ended up with a 1-year contract. Like Bunk said, he's one of the top guys on the market. It's pretty crazy to end up with a 1-year deal.
It's a huge win for Tree Living.
It is.
It's a massive, like, the stock change on Tree Living from you would have bought Tree Living stock on Canada Day when the market closed right before, and then you woke up the next morning a little late, you were feeling terrific about yourself. And so, yeah, I don't know. To me, that's why I have a tough time not giving the Leafs that higher grade, is that I just look at this signing alone, and to me, it's just such a coup to maintain your flexibility moving forward, bring in this guy at essentially no risk. It's to me, like, what signing have we seen so far in free agency that you like more than this?
I think Carolina had a good free agency for sure. Yeah. I mean, they look pretty deadly with what they did. But yeah, I mean, it's one of the better ones. Really, the only risk with Bertuzzi is the injury stuff.
Yeah.
But if he's healthy, it's going to be a slam dunk.
Yeah. So where do you start Domi? And I know that we have the Nylander piece of this that we don't have figured out.
That's
yet.
That's looming big time here.
Yeah,
it is
looming.
With a lot of the cap stuff, like, I, you know, the thought does cross my mind here every so often. Then it's like, okay, well, they're going way over the cap, maybe because one of their best players may be out the door. Like, that stuff does cross my mind. What do you think about it?
What do you think about this, James? Like, did these moves signal to you more likely Nylander staying or more likely Nylander leaving?
I think the number one concern for me with looking at all of it is that it precludes Nylander going. And then if he's only making $7 million, how are you possibly going to replace the 40 goals that he's like, yeah. is that the Domi and Bertuzzi? I feel like a Nylander trade that you make right now, you're going to lose. So it doesn't sound like those negotiations have gone very well. It sounds like they're pretty far apart. You don't really want to go into the season with him unsigned. You know, the no trade clause has kicked in. There's lots of talk about wanting to get bigger on D, and they haven't done that yet. So is there some sort of Nylander trade where you try to get bigger on defense? I don't know. I mean, there's some red flags there still. That's the hardest thing to pull off of this offseason. It's great that they added some offense in free agency and everything. And I think their cap situation's workable with what they've got right now. But if there's some blockbuster trade still to come,
mm-hmm.
all bets are off. Like, I don't even, I'm reluctant to even grade Tree Living's offseason because I think the biggest, most complicated piece is still to come here, and that's Nylander.
Yeah, and to be, just for the sake of the segment, this grade is based off of what's happened so far. Like, you can't predict the future, so this is me giving them the A-minus today. They get absolutely killed in the Nylander trade. That's obviously going to affect things. I just keep coming back to the Calgary one. It just feels like they would love to be able to get a star and prove that they can get someone back there. They just paid Huberto all that money. Like, I don't know why they wouldn't want to pay Nylander a bunch of cash either.
The man who paid him is now in charge.
Yeah,
I believe so.
I guess. And, Hanifin to me and Lindholm, it doesn't reek as a very sexy move for a guy like Nylander, but it just feels like if they're willing to eat the Matt Murray money and throw that in, and then maybe you get Vladar back or something to add to your goaltending depth, I don't know. It still feels to me like that's something that's there. The Carolina one to me also, like, it was noted that Carolina added on the blue line as well. Which of those two teams you think that you'd at least hope Toronto deals with more primarily out of the two if you're given the options?
Man, I don't know if you can win a trade with Carolina. Like, they just seem to be, they're sharks, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it sounds like they're going to move, what, Pesci or what was the other name that's out there?
Brady Shea is the other guy that's a UFA after
yeah.
this year.
Right, right. I mean, they would be okay, but, like, with Nylander going the other way, no way. I mean, that's the thing, too. And, I mean, you talk about your dream Calgary trade with Lindholm and Hanifin or however you weigh it out. I mean, maybe, I guess. Yeah. You know, Lindholm's extension is probably going to be...
No, I still don't
know,
love
The numbers are huge there, and yep. he's older than Nylander. And the good thing about that is you get a really good number two center who's
exactly.
fantastic defensively. And then all of a sudden your forward lineup makes some sense. But
yep.
there's going to have to be probably more going to Calgary than...
More
and
going
the other
to Calgary.
Thing too is, If you're Nylander and you got the 10-team no trade clause, aren't you putting Calgary on there? I mean, like they
look there.
Like the
he loves it.
but if you're Nylander and you want to win this negotiation and you don't want to get traded, you probably just sometimes what happens in these situations is you go through with the agent. And it's like, let's just pick all the teams where they potentially could trade us to. Mm. Anyone that's got cap space, anyone that would be a trade partner, just put them on that list. That happens all the time.
He did submit the list. Do you yeah. know any names that are on it?
No.
I mean, I'll take one guess. Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg and number one. Yeah, like that was.
Well, I think Winnipeg's the number one team on every trade list around the league.
I was going to say, it's just that's just a default spot. They don't even fill out the other, the top
Ottawa.
One. It's just nine. Yeah, I don't know. Ottawa. It's just like, yeah, it's nine. It's actually a nine team list. Yeah, I don't know, man. The Nylander thing makes me feel queasy, too, because it's like we talked about this last week, James, a little bit. Is to me, I just as a matter of principle and culture changing, giving him $10 million a season or somewhere that's even close to that, I don't care if the cap's going up. Just to me, it's a further indicator of what these guys' priorities are and the whole get the bag culture over get the W's. I can't have it. You have to me, show that you want to be here. If Timo Meier, who is your direct comparable, will re-up in New Jersey, of all places, like much worse place to live, bad taxation, you know, young team, fine, good chance of winning. I think that they actually have better Stanley Cup odds right now than Toronto does, but it doesn't matter to me. If he's willing to just get that done immediately before going to market and you're trying to drag this sucker out, I'm going, there is a part of me that, out of principle, you have to move off. Like, it makes sense. It's not just doing it out of spite. It makes sense to try to send a message to the rest of the group. But the other part of this I look at and go, well, how does he sign again before he knows what Matthews is doing? Like, how is it not Matthews that's sending and delivering the message down the rest of the line of, hey, I actually did take a little bit less to make sure that we're starting some of this here. And you've already mentioned that you think the contract is going to be what I think you used the term, not, it's not going to kill them, right? Like, it's not going to be something that's extremely unfriendly, but it's going to be more than people would think, more than the MacKinnon percentages. Why do you think this thing hasn't gotten done yet? Like, what's the holdup with Matthews? Because there's been so much optimism around him. And then this was just a dead quiet weekend.
I think that, I mean, for one, free agency, there's a lot of other things going on. Like, Max Domi's agent is Austin Matthews' agent. So he's been a little bit busy. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they see the urgency there. I think they feel like they know around where it's going to land and that it's going to get done before the season starts, and they can use a little bit of that time to figure out what the exact particulars are. I think that's where that one's at. Matthews is going to get done, but I don't know if you waiting on that one in order to appease Nylander is going to help, because my read of the situation is that Nylander feels like he's been way underpaid compared to the other members of the core four. And
which is true.
They've been ahead of him. It is true. It is true. And if you look at the results, he's pretty close to Tavares and Marner certainly in goal scoring, mm-hmm. how he's played in the playoffs, been part of the power play one. But I think you're right. I to me, the best comparable for Nylander is Philip Forsberg in Nashville. He signed last July, 8.5, 8 years in Nashville. Their numbers are very, very close. If you look at their careers, very, very similar. So even if you adjust for the cap going up, that's 9 million. It's like 9.03 or something like that. I think that's the Nylander number. So if he wants 10, I think you're right. I think there's got to be, sanity has to prevail at some point. Yeah. So if he's way above what the comparables look like, then what choice do you have?
Yeah. And I honestly think giving Nylander 8 years, like that even in itself, just with some of the issues that he's had over the past in his whole career, mm-hmm. with, you know, not necessarily motivation, like, I don't know. It just
consistency,
that sort of thing.
We saw it last year in the playoffs. Yeah. It's funny. Everyone's like, he was their best player in the playoffs. He was their most consistent guy.
Except for like four or five of the games where he was not as good. But then the other ones, he's so good. So that's the whole thing with him. But the 8-year contract length with Nylander is something that I don't necessarily love either. So they probably wouldn't get him on that. They're not going to get any of these Leafs guys on that, but just, I would be a little bit worried about the 8-year thing with him.
The bigger concern actually is just the idea of trading him to Carolina, who looks so poised. They look so good.
And you're trading him to a team that you might have to beat
with. Yeah.
And you're going to lose the trade. Yeah. That's the terrifying thing about this Willie Nylander thing, is that there's no way you win the trade.
Carolina, though, still with the goalie thing. You're like, your roster looks great, but Freddie again, huh? Like sure.
He was good in the playoffs, though. So.
Yeah, he'll end up staying healthy. But yeah, I think that there has to be that number with Nylander. It can't get emotional. It can't get spiteful. It has to remain level-headed. It just, you know, I remember I talked to Frank Cervelli last week on Friday, mentioned it. Every day that passes by makes it more likely that Nylander is going to get traded. I'll just say this. For the rest of these discussions, yeah, we can throw in potentially Nylander moving. But I do think that for the sake of the way that we're looking at the roster right now, we kind of keep it with him in mind, which for the next piece is the Domi signing. Do you try him at center at first, or do you put him on the wing? Like, where does he fit for you, given like the current construction of the forwards? Because you're right, there is a bit of an awkward fit if you put him in the top six.
Don't love him with Willie and Tavares. That is not a good defensive line at all.
No, but it would be good offensively, especially regular season-wise. But then it's just like all of a sudden Nyes and Camp for your third line, where you're starting with, what, Lafferty or something like that? Like, how do you see that mix, James?
Yeah, I agree with you. I like him on the third line. I like the idea, like, create a sheltered scoring third line. Mm-hmm. They don't have a lot of centers, really. I mean, if it's, like, people are talking about Kampf as your third line center and Holmberg as your fourth line center. Like, well, that's not going to work. And I think in an ideal world, you've got purpose-built third and fourth lines on this team. Like, you have a fourth line that's really can play in the defensive zone, can eat the tough minutes. Mm-hmm. The tough thing there is I don't know about Reeves playing on a defensive line. I guess, like, that's why I say when the pieces don't fit, it's like, how do you build something that makes sense here? Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to play Reeves with Domi as the third line center. So it feels like there's still at least one more shoe to drop and probably more than that. Like, I don't think this is finished, but if they go in with this roster, then it's, I think something like Nyes, Domi, Bjarnkrok or something is a pretty darn good third line. And, can produce some offense, and I don't know. I mean, that's kind of the way it looks like right now.
But everyone keeps talking about when they move the Murray contract, they'll be able to do, you know, like every projected thing I see is when they move the Murray contract, they'll have this much cap space. Like, what are they going to do with it? Are they going to LTIR it? Are they going to, you know, trade it? Like, I have a hard time believing that that's going to happen with a trade. Like,
I think if the Nylander trade happens,
he's part of that. I don't know. It just, everyone seems to assume that this is going to be such an easy thing to do, but I guess it's LTIR then if they're just assuming that.
Yeah, I mean, he's only 29, and he was healthy at the end of the year, so I can't see him being like, you know, I'm done, and I'm gonna. It's not like a Muzzin situation where the guy's ready to retire.
Or
and
a Loophole situation where he's like, I don't want to play anymore. Yeah. Seems like he wants to play.
So
I think he does want to play. So my read of this, and I don't know this for sure because no one's saying anything, but my read is that they've got some sort of trade cooked up that's in their back pocket that they're waiting to execute on. Because if they don't, like a buyout to me doesn't make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. There's still a second bio window that they potentially could use. I feel like there's going to be some sort of attach an asset to him and move him. And then the other thing, you could even retain some salary on Murray if that makes it easier to do, but then it gets tighter with the rest of your group.
Yeah. No, this is the real, bugaboo with the two guys from Canada Day, you know, is just the fit, which is, you're right, is I don't... Klingberg, I can see it. I can kind of understand it. And you walk into the season and say, hey, he's going to be on your power play one. And as good as Riley was in the postseason, as weird as it feels to demote him after being your best player in the playoffs, it's fine to give that group a different look. It really is, given what has happened in the past. And yeah, Klingberg might end up being better there. He just might be a little bit more or less hesitant than Riley. Fine. You can figure out a partner with him. Keefe will do the same thing, juggling up the lines. The Reeves one that you mentioned there is the toughest for me, where I'm like, okay, you have a checking line that he's on it. I don't love that. His defensive metrics are really not good, and I don't like him with Kampf whatsoever. And then, yeah, he's obviously not playing on a Domi line. The only way it works is if he's on the Pontus Holmberg line that you aligned that doesn't play. But then that doesn't feel heavy enough. I hate that little part of it. What do you think about just Domi in general, too, like the way that his market shook out? Is this was your read on it that it was pretty much he kind of targeted Toronto, he wanted to come home? There'd been buzz around him in this place for a while, but I don't think that the last GM ever really wanted him.
He didn't.
I think that that's another one, like Bertuzzi, where the player wanted to come to a good team. Obviously, this is home for Domi. I mean, he watched his dad play here. There was a, I don't know if you guys saw, there was a great picture of him that someone put out.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Max Domi. No, it was with his dad, and Max looks like he's about 3 years old, and he's sitting on the bench, and it's before a game's about to start, and it's, you know, he just looks like a little... You know, so it's been ingrained in his mind from when he was a little toddler that, you know, the Leafs was kind of the mecca and where he wanted to be, and now he's back. And it's too bad. I don't think he's going to wear 28, which is too bad. I think they should find a way to make that happen because, you know, those full circle moments, it's kind of like when Luke Shen came back, only a little bit different. But, you know, the ovation on opening night for a Domi to be back in the Leafs lineup is going to be pretty impressive.
I was texting Bonk about this, but James, he's going to definitely have a passion wires cross moment where he gets a significant suspension this year. Like I can already picture it happening. Maybe opening night.
I know that this is like an old school take, but I do love that they went out and got the gritty guy from Sudbury and the guy who
I love it.
Like they both have the bloodline and they get a guy who grew up watching this team play and probably dreaming about playing in a Leafs uniform. To me, that shouldn't be everything, obviously. That shouldn't be the main thing. It should be about how you play and how you fit with the team. But like I was talking about off the top, when dissecting these moves, one of the things that I do love is that you bring in Reeves, who's not afraid of the spotlight at all and, in fact, embraces it, loves it. You know, he's already out here talking about everything that he's going to bring from a personality standpoint and make the group mesh together. So, yeah, he's going to be a star here. Domi's not afraid of the limelight, and neither is Bertuzzi. Like, you bring in three personalities to that room. I have to feel as though that has some kind of meaning.
Yeah, I don't mind any of that part of it. You know, it's just kind of like, I'm just not sure how you... I think the personality thing is fine. I mean, I think it sort of worked with Ryan O'Reilly, right? I mean, it didn't work in the way that they lost embarrassingly in the playoffs, but, you know, O'Reilly was beat up and...
Yeah,
that scored a couple big goals for them.
He did.
I think it's fine. The Tree Living saying that the dressing room's too quiet, they need some more noise there, they need some more personality there, that's fine. I mean, if you can get that and get players who can play, that makes sense. I mean, that's the thing with Reeves is, like, he's also declined from what he was. Like, you're not getting Reeves of 2 or 3 years ago when he could play the 8 or 9 minutes and not be a huge liability. I mean, the last couple of years have been ugly. He's 36 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is Reeves just going to be the DJ and then go sit on the bench for the rest of the game? Like, I don't.
Kind of seems that way.
Him. Like, it feels a lot like when they signed Colton Orr or Matt Murray or, you know, go down the list. It feels like, the Simmons one, it feels very similar to that. Like, he couldn't play anymore. He gets a 2-year deal and then he can't play and he doesn't play. Like, that's the most likely outcome with that one.
Yeah. It's going to be so fun watching him beat the brakes off somebody.
Fight very much anymore either, guys.
Well, no one fights him.
Why would anyone fight him? You know what the outcome is going to be.
He doesn't fight a lot. I mean, that's one of the criticisms of him in his last few stops, you know, is that you want him to be a deterrent. Mm-hmm. What's he going to deter at this point?
I'll say this, though. Say that more, because I hope the Leafs put that in their dressing room. James Myrtle doesn't fight anymore. Ryan Reeves, staple it right as they walk out.
Honor, pride.
If I was
Reeves doesn't fight anymore.
Sheldon Keefe should be tapping that sign before every single game. Like, did you see?
I don't need any more Leafs enforcers reading my stories and my tweets, because I've lived that in my career many times, and I get the dirty looks when I walk in the dressing room. It'll probably happen again, but
guy doesn't think you fight. Are you afraid to fight? Is that
Reeves might tell you that he read it too, James. It doesn't seem like he's too afraid to call people out. Like, I will say, I watched his Zoom yesterday, and
Ballin.
I did love it. Yeah. Like, I did love the way he was talking, and you know, he chose to come to Toronto. He's like, it wasn't all about the money. I think 3 years probably had a lot to do with it, but I did appreciate the stuff he had to say, and he clearly is like a huge personality, a big stud that guys love. Like, I did love his presser.
I just think of the Savard line, right, where Savvy goes, if he's so good in the room, leave him there. And that's just how that's how I feel about this a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair.
I can't wait to see him on the bench, you know, like him on the bench leaning over it, yelling at guys. Mm-hmm. Love him on the ice in his own end.
In the defensive zone?
Yeah.
Not as much.
Chasing guys around and then taking a penalty because he's frustrated he can't catch anybody. Yeah. Less. Yeah. Like, that part less. You're right. I don't know where they find the minutes for him or what the minutes look like for him.
So you're back off of Reeves?
No, I'm buddy, come on. I'm on Reeves, all right?
I'm trying to follow him.
I'm in on Reeves. I'm in on Reeves. Especially because, but a lot of being in on Reeves is what James mentioned, is that they could end up just burying that contract down the line. It doesn't end up hurting them, mm-hmm. right? All I'm saying is I think that the 3 years thing and the money is, to me, a little bit over-discussed in the discussion about him. What I care about right now is the now, and I think that he is going to be good for the culture of the room. I do think that there is a value in having the toughest guy on your bench, but the other stuff, I don't see how he's going to have all that positive impact on the on-ice product. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. It just, I don't know how else we can break it sort of down that way. Anyway, so the next move that ends up happening here is they have to do Murray first, right? Like, they have to move off of money before they do something, or do you think that they go, what is it, you can go 10% over the cap into the summer?
Yeah, I mean, they're fine. They're not like... The cap looks fine to me, but yeah, you got to find a home for Murray. And like I said, like, looking at where they're at and how, you know, you need to get Samsonov signed. So that's going to have to go before you can do that. There's going to be, I'm sure they'll file for arbitration with Samsonov and that. So they'll buy themselves whatever it is, a few weeks. But then that's why I feel like, looking at how close they are, that they know that they've got an outlet for Murray. They know there's somewhere he's going to go. I'd be surprised if they haven't heavily looked into where that could go. Originally, there was lots of talk about San Jose, but then they brought in Mackenzie Blackwood, and they've got the two goalies. So I guess the thing you could be looking for is someone else acquires Murray and does the buyout. The only thing is the cash on that buyout is pretty significant. So that's when you start to wonder, what kind of an asset are you going to have to package with Murray to get someone else to buy him out?
Yeah, that's the part that's so hard to understand. Is I'm looking at this. Last year it was what? Move back 12 spots? No, more than that. How many spots do they have to move back with the Mrazek trade? Mm. Remember?
I think it was 14 or something like that.
So you move 14 16? Spots back, which probably carries more value than it sounds on the surface, right? Because like all these teams, we learn this from the NFL, they have the valuation spot where they go, this is what this is worth, and then you need to have this many
things.
Yeah,
but a late first is the same as a early second. Like, it's really not that much different. I mean, and in the NHL, it's like top five picks are worth a ton.
Yeah.
6 to 10 is worth quite a bit. And then it like really levels off and really goes flat on you.
Well, yeah. And I, again, when we were putting in the research to see what has gone in the 28 range for the last 5 years.
Hasn't been great.
No, it wasn't exactly, wow, look at all these great players that have emerged from picking in this spot. It's not really a thing.
You're throwing a dart even there. Yeah, like that's
what I mean. It's all dart throwing. That's why I can't remember who it was, but there was an analytics guy that put together the value of 7th-round picks versus 4th-round picks and how they're just like all not at all dissimilar in the NHL, given the history, that we'll do this thing where we go, can you believe this guy was a 7th-round pick? And you're like, yeah, kind of, actually, because that range is pretty much all the exact same dart throwing. But, yeah, I don't know. As it gets later in the game, I would imagine that if you're another team, the price for acquiring Murray is only going to go up from here.
I mean, I would play hardball for sure. I just wonder if there's some sort of handshake deal that they figured out with Arizona. I'd have to look at who doesn't have two goalies right now. I mean, but even if you do have two goalies, maybe, like I said, maybe it's just the buyout. But again, it's quite a bit of money. So you don't really want to package like a first round pick in this.
Oh God.
Right?
No.
It's going to, I don't know, a second round pick, maybe. They don't have a lot of prospects to include either. So
no,
I don't know. That one's going to be really interesting to see how they get out of it. I mean, I think the Mrazek one was, that was like some David Blaine sleight of hand magic that they got out of Mrazek as easily as they did. He had 2 years left on his deal. But
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe some other teams.
Trade. That was an amazing trade to get rid of him.
Maybe someone else is looking at that and being like, hey, they got Bedard by doing that. Why don't we do the same thing?
Yeah. Yeah, except for, yeah, when Matt Murray's healthy, he's better than Mrazek is. That's the thing. That's what's lost in that trade. I also love that Dubas' best trade was getting rid of his goaltending.
Yeah, bad.
His best one was the guy he signed, and everyone was like, what a trade that he made here after giving this guy that money.
It was a good trade, though.
No, like, it was. There's no doubt about it. It was a good.
But it was
just a horrific signing. Yeah. And even when it happened, everyone looked at it and went, sorry, how many years from Mrazek? Yeah. At what kind of money? This doesn't really make any sense. To me, I don't know if this is enough of a sweetener when it comes, just when you're talking about the picks and what could end up going out the door with him. The thing that really wasn't lost on me with the whole depth at left wing now all of a sudden is there were a lot of people, at least on Twitter, right? And they're throwing in Nick Robertson into the Leafs lineup. And they went, oh, because he's cheap and now you need something from Robertson. Well, if you've got Bertuzzi and Domi and Knies, no, you don't. You know, now all of a sudden you don't need Nick Robertson. He has no place to play on this roster next year. Like, there is zero path outside of an injury for Nick Robertson to play a role that he should on this Leafs team. I got to feel like at some point here this offseason, I know it's a smaller priority, but that he's just kind of, he's thrown in one of these trades. And I wonder if he is enough for a team that's looking at Matt Murray and saying, hey, yeah, you're eating this, but you can take him. Do you think his value is even that? Like, is he worth a second round pick, essentially, is what I'm saying?
I think if you're a team that's rebuilding, you take a flyer on a guy like Robertson that you can give him an opportunity. And I mean, the only place he really fit on the lineup was that kind of Holmberg Reeves nonsense line. Like, but I mean, Robertson still is waiver exempt. So like they could even just split him between the Marlies again, if he does come back. Like, you're not committed to having to play him in the NHL. So I don't know if you want to just give him away. But if someone's doing you a favor, like taking the Murray contract,
that's what I'm saying.
Maybe there's something there that makes sense.
Yeah, I absolutely do that.
That's what I mean. To me, he's the piece that I'm shopping with the Matt Murray contract.
Yeah. Because
you don't really have picks. And if I'm tree living, why? He's actually, if there's been a guy who's been really successful with nailing some drafts, it has been tree living. And if I'm him, I'm going, no. I want to keep a bunch of these. I want to make sure that my flexibility is open. And if the read from the organization is, yeah, well, this kid can score, but we don't really see the fit, and it hasn't really, he just feels snake bit here. He's clearly a change of scenery candidate. And he came into last season, well, house on fire, well, for the preseason, right? It's okay to bury him down the minors, but how old is he now? 22? He's a younger guy. I think maybe he still might be 21. Either way, he's 21, he's 22 years old. He clearly really, really, really wants to crack the NHL. He's watching his brother get all this opportunity. I feel like, yeah, if you are the Arizona destination that's going to take the Matt Murray money, why would you take another pick? Take another guy who can play for you right now and see what you have. So that to me is the deal. That's what I'm offering if I'm tree living, is Robertson with the Murray contract. And then, yeah, maybe you throw in some kind of like 7th-round pick or something if the team is really playing hardball.
Makes some sense to me. I mean, I don't know. This is just us coming up with stuff. But yeah, I think that the Leafs just don't have a lot else to package with it, especially if you don't want to include any picks of significance. I mean, there's just, I don't know. It's that one's going to be really interesting to see how Tree Living does with it, because those are not easy trades to make.
No.
You know, even if someone's buying that out, it's big time money. I think the buyout would cost you $4 million, just doing the math off that, at least that. Because the cash on the last year of the Murray's deal is $8 million. Like, it's an Ottawa contract. There's no signing bonus that the Leafs are eating, or it's a contract with a ton of cash in it. So even Arizona, I don't even know if they're going to be able to afford to take that. It's going to have to be someone that can take a lot of money.
It's like Arizona's.
The broke boys. Arizona can't afford
$8 million. Imagine floating that. Who's the owner of Arizona?
Gary Bettman.
Yeah, I was going to say. He's like, they're floating that to the NHL. He'd give Matt Murray $8 million.
Gary Bettman's dusting off the black card to pay for Matt.
No, I don't see that either. You're right. Okay, yeah, this was great. Anything else that we missed before you go?
No, yeah. I mean, you didn't really give me what you think's happening on the back end. Like, what do you do on defense? I mean, you say you like Klingberg, but where are you going to play him?
I know. Well, this is the oddity for this team is,
who can take bigger risks, McCabe or Klingberg on the ice?
I was going to say,
play them together.
What you outlined, I think, is if things start today, right? If we're just working off of the pieces that we have right now, then I think it's exactly what you said. I think it's, you're putting Brody back with Riley. You're trying McCabe and Klingberg, but those two guys, that's really...
No, thank you.
Obviously. There's no one's going to feel good about that. Like, there's no one's going to feel good about that. You're not loading up the offense and saying, hey, it's Riley and Klingberg together. That's clearly not going to happen. So it's that. And then you have a third pairing, which is Giordano and Liljegren. I think my biggest thing is what I mentioned before. You can't go into the season with Giordano as a... put down in pen guy on your roster after what we saw in the playoffs last year.
No.
Yeah.
No. So to me, I think in an ideal world, man, Jake McCabe makes $2 million and you'd love to see him be the next guy down the lineup and then have Giordano basically be your seventh defenseman. I hate even considering it, but it's like, to me, you just sort of circle and go, it's either Brody or Liljegren to me feels like one of those two guys is getting moved.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. That's what it looks like to me too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only other thing I could think of is maybe you waive Timmins and then you're looking at signing like a defenseman who can challenge for the 5-6 role.
Not good enough to me.
But you look at free agency and it's like, man, there's nothing there on defense that's interesting at this point. So yeah, it feels like there's a trade. I think they're going to have to make multiple trades here. Murray's going to be one of them. Yep. Something is happening on defense, and then we'll see what happens with Nylander. Like, it could be, while it looks like a full roster, while they've got enough players and they're at the cap and all of that, I still think there's lots to come for this team here. So that's really where I'm intrigued. And I think that that's really going to define how good their offseason was is based on what happens with those next 2, 3, 4 trades that they need to make.
Completely agree. And that's why I keep circling back to Carolina, because it just feels like that Nylander trade could end up being all of it. It could end up being part of, potentially how you dump the Murray contract. It could be how you change your blue line up. It's potentially how you move Nylander. I keep looking at them as partners and saying,
Brett Pesci,
don't do it.
Brett Pesci is what you're going to get back for William Nylander.
I don't know
Eric Topke's going to take your lunch money and make you feel like you still had something to eat or something. Yeah. You know, like it's not going to work.
I don't
know a trade with them that you win.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you can play scared. You can't sit down across from Eric Topke shaking in your boots like, I hope, what will you give us, sir? You know, if you can find a deal with that team, that's just the one to me where both sides sit down at the table and go, we have what you need, you have what we need.
The only way you win that trade is Slavin. That's it.
Yeah. Anyways, we got to go. Myrtle, this was great as always. Thanks for doing this, man. You're right. This is going to be a great offseason, so I can't wait to chat about it more. Quick break. Let's come back. We're going to do a podcast only with some Raptors stuff later today and an update.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right. I'm taking my best bet to Twitter today, Twitter and Instagram. So follow there at JD Bunkus, and some bonus podcast stuff with McKee, Raptors and Jays now. All right. Podcast only portion of the show. That was fun. Although, okay. that let's do a little breakdown of what we just discussed with Myrtle, you know, just the two of us.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to share some thoughts on the old Fred Van Vliet departure.
Okay, I have some thoughts as well.
I know you do.
Yes, a lot of thoughts.
And then I want to talk quickly about the Toronto
Blue Jays.
No, do we have to? AKA the guys who just straight up cannot beat American League East teams. Oh, nice. Mackie just told me he's got the Gossman quote, which we will be discussing. Okay, here's my quick thing on the Leafs right now, too. Okay. One, all of a sudden, the hope is back, man.
We're back.
Okay, it's an entertainment product.
Uh-huh.
And you and I are a little too close to this in terms of we do Leafs Talk 82 games, yes, and we're just yapping about them all the time, and we do these shows and whatever. But how many people were texting you over the weekend being excited now? It's like people were having conversations debating Ryan Reeves. People were having conversations debating Klingberg. And then they bring in Domi, the passion, and then they bring in a guy who is the best free agent in the entire class, with all due respect to our boy Frank's board that had bunting ahead of him. This is the guy in Tyler Bertuzzi. And not only that, I didn't even mention this actually off the Leafs Talk. They poach him from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Boston wanted him back. Boston might be losing Taylor Hall, Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci, Tyler Bertuzzi. Good luck, Beantown.
They signed Lucic, though.
Yeah, nice. Lucic versus Reeves is going to be
happening.
Awesome TV next year.
Happening.
Oh, my God. So good.
Oh, yeah.
So good. Anyway, so Leafs probably aren't going to win a Stanley Cup, okay? Yeah. You can park the plan.
Quite
the parade.
A prediction.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny when I'm tweeting about them, and then you just get the guys that are in there, the dorks who are just like, I'm not excited about 1 year deals. You're like, okay.
Oh,
and then you get the other guys, oh, they're playing the parade again? How could
shut
this
up.
Still? Imagine being one
Please,
of those
God,
guys.
Shut up.
You're using one of your tweets. Plan the parade?
You only have a
question
few.
Mark? Fire? Ah. Oh. How, how sad is your life that's your joke still to this day, where you're online waiting to fire that? Like, you're just sitting there, you're some Oilers fan, you're like, oh, come on, someone tweet a good thing about Leafs. I got playing the parade in my drafts. Fire!
Thank God.
Just awful. Anyway, I'm excited that there's things happening.
You know who's back?
Talking about the Leafs.
The uncles.
Oh, yeah.
Mimico dads are back.
How so?
The guys they signed.
Yeah.
Greece.
Yeah.
Domi.
Yeah.
How many, like, honestly, the rank the jerseys from that era that you see when you go to a Leafs game? Domi.
Yeah.
Ty Domi
Sundin
jerseys.
One.
Ty Domi jerseys are in the conversation.
Yeah,
you see so many 28s at Leafs games. He's a incredibly popular guy.
Yeah.
And they bring in his son, who, you know, he's not Ty Domi.
Yeah.
But he is a bit of a lunatic on the ice. He's a snap show.
No, here's the thing. He actually is going to have to take less penalties.
Yes, he does.
It's one of the biggest things with him is you got to not take so many PIMs.
Bertuzzi, just look at him.
Yeah.
He's a grease bag.
Yeah.
Like, guys are going to love him. Reeves is the toughest guy in the league. I don't think Klingberg is a Mimico dad guy, but they brought in three guys that have really changed the identity of this team.
You know
they really
like,
have.
Yeah, you're right. The thing about Klingberg is I just like that they bought low on him, you know?
Yeah,
like, he's just...
Yeah, not that low.
No,
still
but
it's... Still over $4 million.
But, okay, $4 million.
Yeah.
If he runs power play one and he plays 15 minutes a night and he ends up with... How many assists did he have last year? I don't think he actually ended up having that many.
No.
But, okay, let's say you get 85% of who he was that year when Dallas made the cup run, and he was just their stud on the blue line.
Mm.
He's, like, worth it. So worth it. And if he doesn't work out for you and you feel like you do need a change on the blue line, maybe you flip him somewhere that needs power play help at the deadline and you do a player-for-player kind of trade.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not that worried about it, man.
He had some really big years. In 2016, 2017, he had 13 goals, 36 assists. The year before that, he had 58 points in 76 games, 67 points in 82 games the year after that.
Dude, like, plus he's big, okay? People keep thinking about him because he's a turnstile, which is fair, but at least he's a 6'3 turnstile.
Yeah.
I like the idea of this guy being able to snap it around. I still look back at that playoff run and say, did he really age that much? Was that really that much of a fluke that in, what was it, when he was 27 years old? Yeah, when he was 27 years old in 26 playoff games, he had 21 points.
Yeah. Listen, I'm really ready to be proven wrong on this.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to be wrong on this.
He played 23 minutes a night on that run.
I know. I don't. He was unbelievable during that run for them.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I don't love him. He's not my guy.
Yeah.
But I'll be interested to see how he fits in with the Leafs. And I do like that he's big.
Yeah.
He's bigger than people think, for sure.
That's it. Yeah. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to step out on the ice, and it's going to be the ceremony that we do every year. It's like, welcome the Maple Leafs. And he's going to stand out there, and he's going to be kind of towering over some of the other guys. Yeah. People are going to put him next to TJ Brody, and they're going to go, oh, that's Klingberg, huh? Yeah. Tall, handsome guy?
He's a big, Swedish, handsome guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he snaps it.
Immediately like him a little bit more.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm just saying, I'm not as... The last 24 hours, if you're going to go full offense, which they kind of are, adding Bertuzzi and adding Domi, and they're going to say, all of a sudden, we want a third line that maybe Domi centers and has Nyes on it, and you want to have a sheltered third scoring line that we talked about, then I don't mind having a guy like Klingberg who can hop over the boards, and you say, yep, offensive zone draw.
Well, Klingberg's dried up last year, man. How many straight games was it with two goals? Was it six?
Yes, man. No, I think it was even more than that.
Because they scored two in game six.
Jobo taking work off today when I need videos produced and stats on the fly.
You can figure it out. They scored two in game six when they won, right? They won 2-1 in overtime, and then they didn't. So it was six straight games. They scored two goals.
Oof.
Yeah.
Exactly. Man, I love this. I'm not saying this is everyone, but I will just say that I should have stayed off Twitter too. I should have just taken my rate limit and stayed out.
Yeah.
But just searching around and looking around, I did see a lot of people going, well, the Leafs got a bunch of turnstiles. The Leafs got a bunch of turnstiles. And this was mostly from the analytics community, right? Yeah. I saw a lot of the chart guys going, hey, here's the bad news about these guys. And all I could think was, okay, so you guys all bitched and moaned about how the Leafs don't have enough offense. Hey, guess what the offensive guys don't do as well?
Play defense.
Duh.
Yeah.
They're like, well, he's not good at this. Who did you want, man?
I know.
Who did you want? They were like, hey, you know what the Leafs got to do?
Can we get like five Patrice Bergerons in his prime, please?
I was going to say, they were like, so
Kopitar go, available?
Yeah. They were like, go into the time machine, grab Steve Yzerman in his prime, bring him back into the future, plunk him down, and... Like, make sure he doesn't know where he is.
Still in the mountains? Like,
he still thinks that this kind of money is great, and he takes a low hit on the cap. What? Like, shut up.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Too many charts this weekend.
You sent me a chart, and I saw.
But like, I sent you the chart to piss on the chart.
But there was multiple, like, different line graphs. I'm like, I failed math. Yeah. I don't know. Look at this.
Yeah, that was. I think if you're going offense, it makes more sense having Klingberg. It made less sense when you had him before, and all of a sudden I went, wait, so Camp's the third line center, and then you're going to be trying to find all your offense?
But they need a butcher on the back end.
They do.
And I think that Zadorov smoke is one that makes me very interested.
But what do you get to Zadorov for? I'm not trading.
I know you're not doing Willie or anything.
No, I'm saying, too, I'm not doing Liljegren for him.
No, I guess you don't have any picks, so you're pretty much boned. But
no.
To me, I love the element of having one guy in the back end.
Same.
That, like Shen was. Just a guy that's going to go to the front of the net, barbecue guys in front, absolutely use the stick in all sorts of ways, hit guys. Like, I like Butcher on the back end, and they don't have one right now. So, at all.
You think Tom Brady's going to come to a Leafs game this year?
Oh, because of Max Domi?
Yeah, because he's best boys with Ty.
I doubt it. Has Tom Brady.
Mackey?
Question,
Brady?
Has Tom Brady ever been to Toronto?
Yeah, 0% chance that Tom Brady's coming to a Leafs game this year.
Do you think Tom Brady's been to Toronto?
Coming to Toronto in the winter?
I think Tom Brady's going to come out.
Do you think he's been here, period?
No, but that's it. If I'm Ty, he's like, my son plays on the team. He's going to be doing that
He'll
now.
Be in Boston.
Guess
He'll be
what?
In Boston.
Guess what, alumni suite? Guess who's back? Back again.
And we'll see Kipper sitting there talking with Tom Brady.
Dude, actually, that's a lock of the century. The guy who sits with Bill Burr and Tim Cook is... destined to be next to Tom Brady again. We got to get like a Kipper couple of shit. He played golf with Rafa Nadal.
No, they didn't even play golf. They got rained out. So he sat in the Rosedale like area and just sat and hung out with Nadal for the rain.
Amazing.
Never did.
What did they talk about?
Dude, who knows?
Ladies.
Yes.
100%. Anyway, okay.
Can we talk about O'Reilly?
Yeah. That's the other part of it. Like I said, I know what I know. And I know that he wasn't happy with the way that the bench was run during the playoffs. And when they went 11-7, he was especially displeased. So I'll say this, I'll clarify this. I don't know that was the quote unquote deal breaker for Ryan O'Reilly. That was the number one reason, but I'll just tell you this. He was not happy about the playoff bench. Like, it is what it is. So
here's what Saravelli said on the morning show today.
The Leafs tried pretty hard to keep him, but the response they continued to get that he wasn't interested in playing in Toronto. So I think the perception change on Ryan O'Reilly has been one that's been pretty interesting, right? Since he won the cup and he was a stud and he was a leader guy. But, like, you remember him before that, right? Like, the Buffalo situation, the Colorado situation. Like, there was instances here where he was not pleased in multiple different situations. And, you know, there was that Jay Feaster, the offer sheet thing that happened with him. Like, this guy's perception.
Oh, my God.
This guy's perception has flipped in the last, I guess, what year did they win the cup? 2018? 2019? So that was like 6 years ago.
Are you turning on him?
Not turning on him, but I'm just saying.
It's okay if you do. He left.
I know. I'm not going to be Mr. Media guy here.
No, but this, like, is actually the one where if you're a fan, you're super allowed to be pissed at this one. Well, like, I got some Fred texts and people were mad and I went, you cannot be mad. No. He's an undrafted free agent. Yes. They just offered him what is now foundationally changing money.
His kids are set for life.
No. Like, he got offered maybe $50 million with different taxation laws to play in Houston.
He's taking that.
Yeah.
But no, it just, I
Ryan O'Reilly got offered the same money to be here and he was like, give me.
And he's a local guy. Yeah. I do think that, you know, there's two sides to every story. And, you know, I probably agree with him on his thoughts on Keefe. If that's the case, you know, I do probably look at him and being like, there's probably a lot of truth to what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great coach, one of the better coaches in the league in Berube in St. Louis. Like, he was with them for a long time. I get coming here, maybe having a more junior coach with less pedigree than Berube. But, like, he did have some moments early in his career where he, like, cried his way out of places, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
So there's two sides to the story, is all I will say.
And guess what? I'm glad you brought it up, and I agree.
Yeah.
And you know what? Now I feel a little bit bad putting this on poor old Sheldon.
Well, I think Sheldon owns him.
Yeah. I'm just saying that.
Like, I would have been okay with him being gone too, well, Ryan.
All I'm saying, though, too, is so far the guys that we have on record who clash with Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
VC.
Greasy VC. Your game's vanilla.
Greasy VC.
One of the best lines ever.
Bunting.
Mm-hmm.
And O'Reilly.
Yeah. I'd say one of those things is not like the others.
Yeah, fine. Well, isn't it, though? Maybe, based on what you're saying, isn't the case here?
Well, his perception's changed. Like, his reputation has changed, which I understand because he's a Conn Smythe winner. He was an absolute stud for them. He was a leader guy. Like, he was, like, you know, everyone looked on him, but.
Plus, he looks the part, man.
For sure.
He's got the grizzled look, big
guy.
He's
just a hockey-looking guy.
Hockey-looking guy, hunk with no teeth. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So, but I'm, anyways, we can move off of it.
Yeah.
But people don't forget, Ryan. People don't forget what happened earlier.
I was going to tell you that it will be annoying to me that he will get, I'm not going to cry, but it's a little perturbing that he will get cheers and a standing ovation when he comes back to Toronto after he decided to leave.
For sure. He will.
That's lame. That's lame that we're going to end up doing that. People just won't. Like, it should be drilled home. Maybe the week of the shows, I'm going to remind people that it's like, bang, bang, bang.
Remember?
Nashville coming to town. He left for the same money.
Nashville? Like, really? They're going to stink.
It's hockey.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be stinky.
Guess what?
They got a good goalie.
Here's my counter,
so they might have a chance.
Yeah.
And it's Nashville.
It's hockey. And they got Barry Trotz.
Yeah.
And, they're gonna be fine. Honestly, they're going to be fine. Luke Shen, here's what I'll say. Just save the cheers for Shen.
Yeah, I loved your take on Leafs Talk on Saturday about how him leaving doesn't give us the chance for the perception to flip on him.
Yeah.
Like, we all just have the fond memories now.
Yeah, it is.
And
they're all fond.
And talk about life-changing money. He's never got paid.
No.
So, like, for him to
he needs that.
At this point of his career, it's like, obviously.
He just had a baby.
Let the man get that money.
Let him eat. Let him eat.
Yeah, I'm happy with Luke.
Hey, guess what?
Luke's truth.
Nothing but love, Luke. Yeah. Nothing but love, brother. You're always welcome here. You're always welcome. Yeah. This is still your town.
Get him on the air. Talk to Luke.
I would still be down if they said Legends Row Shen. I would go,
down.
Yeah.
Down.
Have it in him on the junior team pummeling that Russian.
Oh, my God. And pummeling Maroon. And pummeling.
I know, but that one Russian kid.
Oh, that kid, did he ever skate again?
I don't think so. No, Shen got on top of him full mount.
He quit hockey.
Yeah. I think when he realized that was a possibility in hockey, he went, comrade, no more.
No hockey.
No hockey. No more hockey. Ballet. Anyway, all right. We done with Leafs? Or is there anything else we want to hit on?
I'll just quickly say
that...
You know, them bringing in these guys, is a pretty big commentary on the room. And, you know, the exit meetings and True Living talking to everybody, and that's his whole thing about speaking with everyone and, you know, being not upstairs, being downstairs, getting the feel for everyone. Like, he's obviously very thorough with that stuff. You heard him talk about how much they talked to Keith, like how long they met for and all this stuff. Like, he obviously got a lot of feedback that the room is quiet and maybe not that great. Right. Mm-hmm. Like that was obviously something that was feedback. You probably heard that from Ryan O'Reilly himself when he talked to him. Like, that was definitely a thing. And I don't think it's any coincidence that he gave Ryan Reeves 3 years, that he gives Max Domi money. Like, to me, there's a pretty clear indication of what their intentions were with some of these free agents, and that it's to get the room, have a little bit more noise in it. Like, that was very clear to me after I heard True Living talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And like, I think it's a big part of Reeves, too, is that they're saying, hey, this guy 100% is going to... You know what's so funny, though, too?
Team building is important. Dude, going out with the boys is important. 100%. Doing stuff together matters.
But 100%. You know what's the most telling one for me? Is that... This is now, there was the 24/7 year where they were all up in Canada, and all the reports were, these guys love their room, these guys love their room, these guys love, this team gets along great, this team gets along great, okay? And then last year, at the playoffs, remember when Sheldon Keefe said they all went out to dinner together?
Oh my God. I was like, what? That's rare?
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's clearly... Even Reeves said the whole
cliquey thing multiple times.
What did you think about? I thought about the Justin Bieber skate with Matthews, Barry, and Mitch.
The Muskoka Five, what's that? The Bieber boys?
Yeah, and I couldn't help but think about that when he was mentioning it. Mm-hmm. And the feeling of putting Ryan Reeves in that dressing room and going, I don't give a crap.
Shake the snow globe up, baby. Everybody's coming out.
You're coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do not want to have me in your face every day in here telling you.
Guess what? You're just coming.
That you got to come.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
No, I like it.
Me too.
Watch. It's going to be so funny, though. We're going to end up, Leafs going to lose this year, and it's going to be like the beer and chicken wings Red Sox season where it's going to be like,
behind the scenes, brass rail owners say that the boys are there every night.
The boys are leasing the bar every night. You know, that's not good either. Either way, you're right. There's a little bit of added something to that, okay? Yeah. These guys, as much as, hockey GMs make the dumbest moves all the time that backfire all the time.
Constantly.
Yes, nonstop. Sports executives are not infallible, whatever. But these guys are working with a lot more information than we have. And I think if True Living did go out and say day one, hey, we got to get Ryan Reeves in here and we're going to give him 3 years to make sure it happens, that he does feel as though.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah.
It's like we wanted the player and we wanted it to happen.
And
that's why
we weren't screwing around. And we said, this is the one guy that we do feel like is going to change maybe the dynamics behind the scenes a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And good on you. Went out and got him.
Yeah.
And God, the Reeves mic'd up. Can we just get unfiltered Ryan Reeves mic'd up? That would be so worth. I think about Toronto. You could make the money back on the contract. Just get with Rogers, fire up a channel, and it's just the Ryan Reeves channel, and he's mic'd up, and you agree that you're not allowed to tweet anything he says under penalty of death.
Death.
Yeah, dead. No, literally, you're dead. Hanging you in the square.
So
Lee Square is just hangings all of a sudden. It's just here to the bell ringer. This guy tweeted the Ryan Reeves stuff on Twitter and let all the you know who's exactly the accounts you know who that would cry about it the most.
I think, it's going to be the best when you get the first Hockey Night in Canada tarps off interview after they win.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this guy. Everyone's whining about.
I will say there was a moment. Confession time? Can I get in this? As Ennis and I used to do safe space.
Yes,
I am now firmly stepping into the safe space. There were a few times over the last year, especially, where the Reeves interviews got to the point where I went, okay.
Oh, for sure. And I'm sure if there's some teammates that you talked to in his last 4 or 5 stops, they'd be like, "Yeah, it was a lot."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, no question that's there.
All I'm saying is that.
Yeah,
it was a lot of interviews where, once it started to get the Chiclets thing of like him and Bissonnette were doing the rivalry thing.
I didn't mind that. Okay. I'm not allowed
to be attacked for this. I'll step out of the safe space. Can't wait to see him
and
beat just the life out of somebody.
Well, everyone is hating on this contract, and fair enough. Like, it's a pretty crazy contract.
No, it's not that bad.
I know it's not that bad, but perception-wise, PR-wise.
PR-wise, looking it's at like it, 3 years, blah, blah, blah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. But all those people that are whining about it, opening night, he buries someone and he's in front of the net, getting into the goalie's face, getting in someone's face. There's a brawl, God forbid, like something happens.
Yeah.
Everyone's immediately going to forget about that contract. He's going to be a fan favorite immediately.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen.
Agree.
It's very, very easy to see.
Agree.
All right. Okay. I'm good.
Raps?
Yep.
Okay. Raps. Fred VanVleet signs in Houston, mm-hmm. and everyone goes, you can't pay him that money. I agree. First of all, the Raptors couldn't pay him. Like, they could not, they were not paying him that money. $130 million over 3 years. He's 29 years
old.
More
than Kyrie, right?
Yeah. Because I think Kyrie got 125.
Wow.
So, 130 over three, plus no state taxes. Gotta say it again. God, when were we gonna get there? Can we just assume?
Can we have that now?
What? Yeah, can we just do those?
Yeah, no province taxes.
It's like saying it's early. You just feel like you need to say it, and it's so...
Well, it matters. Look at Tampa.
I know it matters. It just... anyway, so he goes there. He's going to go be locker room dad. Houston might end up moving pieces and get better more quickly than some of us think, right? All of a sudden, let's just say Joel Embiid becomes available, and Houston has pieces to go and get him. I don't... They're out on Harden, but it's the NBA. Guys could end up moving sooner than you think. But Fred takes the money and he goes with a young Houston team. Toronto could not give him the contract. And yet I still saw a lot of people again with the take of, well, there weren't really any offers at the deadline. So how do you fault Masai?
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
First of all, let me just say this. The Raptors got the dry run on this with Kyle Lowry to a degree. Where they thought, okay, you know what? Maybe we're going to re-sign him, but maybe not. Let's run it into the season. And ends up being the Tampa year. And people talk about the Lowry deal like they actually did well. They didn't. They got Precious Achiuwa, and they turned the Goran Dragic contract into Thaddeus Young, which also cost them a first-round pick. So if you're like looking at the Lowry trade in
disaster
totality, it's really bad, especially since they could have drafted Walker Kessler and probably would have given the need at center at that spot. And then, by the way, here's the thing that... not enough people mention, and this was reported by Jake Fisher, and it was reported at the time when the deal happened. Raptors could have turned that Goran Dragic contract into Kristaps Porzingis. And they never did it. They went Thad Young instead. Yep. Ugh. And they said, we don't like the medicals. Fine. You didn't want to take the risk, but in hindsight, you could have had Kristaps Porzingis on your team, who's coming off of a pretty damn good year, pretty damn good run. But no, that's what they passed up on. Like, they could have gone Kristaps from Dallas. He was available. The Raptors talked about it. He was someone they could have brought in. Guess who would have had more impact for them in that playoff series against Philadelphia that year? Kristaps Porzingis than Thad Young. Thad Young did have some nice moments. He's a decent, like, ball moving forward. But to trade a first-round pick for him is just, it's insane. And you think about these last 2 years, the Raptors have now traded two first-round picks for Thad Young and Jakob Poeltl. Which is, and they gave him both a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, Thad Young also got money to stay here and then basically sit on the bench and was supposed to be a dad for the team. The Raptors, and I can say this because I actually advocated for this after the playoff run. If you remember, after the series against Philadelphia, Fred did not perform very well. And there was a bunch of discussion about whether the three-point shooting fell off because he just was hurt and he couldn't really get healthy. And when was he healthy enough to play against Philadelphia? And hey, this series wasn't all related to the true player that Fred VanVleet is. And at the time,
bad matchup talk.
And at the time, I said, you got to trade Fred now. He's going to end up getting a big offer in free agency. There was a market of teams that wanted to trade for him. And they decided to walk it into the season and buy the fool's gold, which was that year before. There was always a time for the Raptors to pick a timeline. There was always that time. And yeah, you can mesh them and you don't have to be as urgent with some guys as others, but they completely misread the market. And people can say, oh, well, Houston ended up giving more. They thought they were going to give it to Harden, blah, 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 blah. That happens. You knew that there were going to be teams out there with a bunch more cap space than you that were going to get aggressive for Fred and that you're going to have to pay him over market value. And so for all of you that are like, well, you can't give Fred that money. Guess what the Raptors were trying to do? They were trying to give Fred a big old bag of money because losing him for nothing and adding him to the list of, and it's different circumstances, fine. But it's Danny Green. I don't include Kawhi in any of this. When people include Kawhi, it's like, no, shut up. You can't include Kawhi in the walking away for nothing thing. There was never a scenario where you're going to move him and you do everything as possible. You lost Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Fred VanVleet, and who am I missing? Danny Green.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone else.
And yeah, now and you kind of lost Lowry. You got some for Lowry, but it was just Precious Tua.
Yeah.
And again, a contract that ended up costing you in the long run. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's just their indecision to make that choice before the season ends up biting them in the ass down the line. And I would also say, no matter what, you didn't have to just wait until the deadline to trade Fred. There could have been offers that we don't know about throughout the course of the entire season. We do know that there were a couple of teams, including the Phoenix Suns and including the LA Clippers, that were, you know, really horny for Fred for a long period of time. And then last part of this is that don't let this be the thing that keeps happening. Pascal Siakam is turning 29 years old. The timeline thing is evident now. Siakam is 29, and these guys are all signing for $250 million. They're all getting max deals. You know what Siakam's going to want? A max deal. Let's say Masai and Bobby get him to take something a little less.
But he's an all-NBA guy, right? So he's eligible for one of the big bangers.
Yeah, and they won't give him that. So what are you going to do? You're going to make it contentious with Siakam? Are you going to have it be tough with this guy? He's talking about, oh, he's not going to re-sign in a different place. Well, let that place take on that risk or see what happens. All I'm saying is the Raptors taking guys into the season these last couple of years, whether it was Lowry, whether it was Fred, whether it was whatever, it hasn't worked out for them. It has been a problem. And so maybe shake things up and say, you know what? We're not going to win an NBA championship this year. There is a market for Siakam. I don't love a lot of the ideas that Atlanta, because it's just the pieces that they have to offer to me, unless it's, you know, Bufkin and multiple first round picks and DeJounte, that it just doesn't feel all that great. But Siakam's on a different timeline right now. Are you going to give him a max-ish contract at age 31 years old moving forward when you've got this team? It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. I'd rather have you save the money. And then they're not a free agent destination, but you are a place that can continue to move contracts, take money, and then flip and draft and do those things. Get back to the roots of what the Raptors used to do to build. I think that they got to trade Siakam this offseason.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything that you said there. Mm-hmm. It just, to me, the Fred thing just sucks so bad because
it sucks horribly.
To not get anything for him as a guy that you undrafted, signed him, developed him, turned him into what he is, if you're not going to pay him, you obviously, like, what were the offers that they were talking about for the Clippers? It was like a first round pick and Kendrick Nunn.
It was trash.
But you were going nowhere.
Throw in Terrence Mann.
It's about the, oh yeah, that's who it was, Terrence
Mann.
But that makes sense
because Terrence Mann has real value.
It's the perception to me of what they thought they were that pisses me off the most.
Yeah.
At the deadline. Like the fact that this team bought at the deadline and traded a first round pick for Jakob Poeltl, who I love. Mm-hmm. I thought he's a good player. You know, that contract seems insane to me, but NBA contracts are all insane, I guess. But it's just the perception of what they thought they were at the deadline and to not trade those guys. And now they're going to hold on to Gary and give him a big bag. Like,
annoying.
I think this team is destined for a
lot
of years.
But at least Gary's 24.
Yeah, I know, but they're destined for mediocrity here for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to be a really competitive team here for quite a long time. It sucks. I do like the Grady Dick pick. We've both talked about how we like that, but like, I don't know. You think Scotty Barnes is going to take another step? Like, I didn't like what I saw from him last year.
I know, but I do think that Barnes is going to be a bounce back candidate.
Okay.
I do think that he is going to play a lot better.
But I'm upset about Fred, man.
But empowering him with Siakam gone would be a good thing. Yes, you have to be upset about Fred.
It sucks.
And it also is just sad.
And the perception flipped on him.
Yeah.
It did. Like, he was a hero here. He was I'd say he was in the realm of one of the most popular athletes that the city had ever seen during that championship run. Yep. Like, he was beloved. What do you have, 24 points in game six?
Yeah.
Hit every big shot for them, was massive against Milwaukee. Like, you think about all those incredible moments that we had with Fred and the way the perception just changed over the last couple of years.
Yeah,
it sucked.
Ugly. It was ugly and it was sad. And even watching him go, where people are like, good luck, you know, you can't pay him that much money. It's like, well, first of all, you don't know how this new cap system works.
How about Drake? Did you see that comment?
Yeah, that was funny.
It was hilarious.
That's his boy.
I know.
That's his boy. And he can take
Fred
that shot.
Fred VanVleet goes, relax.
Yeah, that's great. That's really great.
I'm upset by the state of the Raptors because, like, there was just no front office that you talked more highly about than Bobby Webster and Masai Ujiri for 3 years.
It felt like
four years.
The crown jewel of the city.
Yeah, they were unassailable. Everyone loved them.
A lot of misses since the chip.
Has there been a hit? What have the hits
Scotty
been?
Barnes.
That's it.
Scotty Barnes pick. That's been pretty much it. All right.
Okay, I'm good.
Jays, last thing. I'm going to keep this quick because there's really nothing to say right now.
Plus, God, this weekend is horrible.
I know, but it's like it's too negative right now, so I don't even really want to pile on. So I'll just say this. Gausman, play the clip. This is what he said after the loss to the why are they losing to American League East teams?
You know, I think we have a target on our back. You know, I think it sounds bad to say, but, you know, I think people know how talented our team is. And so, you know they have to really bring it. And so if we don't bring it, you know, they're going to kind of have a higher intensity than us. And so we kind of got to know that going in and try to match that or take over that intensity. And so, yeah, but I mean, AL East is the hardest division in baseball.
Yeah, okay, that's the end.
It is a hard division.
You're 85 games into the season, though. What are you talking? Oh, we're just teams are bringing against us. Teams are bringing it against you. Teams know how talented you are, and so they're bringing it against you.
It's what baseball?
This answer, it's not going to get enough discussion about how bad it is because it fouled on Leafs were happening. Oh, yeah. Raptors free agents were happening. No one wants to listen to this stuff right now because they're just like, Jay's lost again. Cool. Bing, earplugs and bedtime.
Let's talk about Bertuzzi.
It's bedtime for Bonzo. You know, it's too much. Now Boston is two games back of them, by the way.
Yeah. Kevin's right. It does sound bad. This is going to sound bad? It does sound bad.
Dude, don't say that.
Don't say it.
I like transparency from athletes, but this is like, yeah, the other teams are really trying hard out there against us.
I would hope.
And we need to make sure we try even harder than those teams. What?
Well, don't you think that kind of says a lot about what this team's perception of itself is?
Dude, these guys, they were supposed to move Teo, who, by the way, OPS'd almost 950 last month. They were supposed to move Gurriel, who just hit a walk-off grand slam again, OPS plus of 121. They moved off those guys because they wanted to be more mature baseball team. Oh, they were going to be so mature. And now you've got Kevin Gausman going on and saying we need to make sure that we match the intensity and we have a target on our backs, and that's affecting the way that we potentially win some of these games. What are you talking about?
Maybe
the division's good.
Maybe you could mature the ball out of the ballpark once in a while. Dude, that'd be nice to see.
The division's good, but let's point out, this is like, it's year 8 of Atkins and Shapiro. Mm-hmm. Year 8. And they're sitting in fourth in the division, and it doesn't seem rosy and, oh, don't worry. Like, I do think that there's going to be positive regression with this team, but, like, they're 5-5 in their last 10, and this is just how it feels all year long, is a couple steps forward and then a couple steps backwards, and it usually coincides with the American League East. So it's like, yeah, you got a target on your back because you're talented. Okay, so what? What about the Rays, who've just continuously been good? Like, what? What about, you know, like the Rangers who spent a bunch of money, the Astros these last bunch of years? Like, yeah, that's what happens.
Look at the division.
Get a target. You beat the good teams.
The team that was supposed to suck is way better than you and will be for 10 years. Baltimore is just way ahead of them now.
Baltimore's 49-33.
They've been a little cold recently. I think they've gone through a little stretch. But, like, you look at their roster, they're going to be amazing.
Anyways, the state of the Jays is a tough one. Anyway, subscribe to this podcast. Leave 5 stars. Share it with your friends. This part was only in the J.D. Bunkus podcast. So you guys are winners for being here.
Argos hosting the BC Lions at BMO Field tonight. 3-point dogs. I'm back in Chad Kelly. Argos stay undefeated. Yeah.
Let's go.
Don't sip on my best bets, Austin.
Is that your best bet?
Maybe. Go to Twitter and go to Instagram @JD Bunkus. We'll see you there.